hello, hello, everyone. Hey, Louise.
Hi, Kim. Hi, everyone.
Welcome back to another. If somebody in the audience can hear me, can you hear me now?
Now,
okay. Whew. She turned me off, friends. She turned my sound off. No. All right, I'm Kim.
I'm a life and business.
No, I'm not even letting you talk right now. I'm a life and business alchemist for change makers, thought leaders, and paradigm shifters who are creating social impact in the world. Louise, what the hell are you doing in the world?
I am making some change as well in the world, all around our own career empowerment. Really helping folks really reclaim the work that we do and having courageous conversations around that. So that's my space right now. And maybe it'll be a different space, but I'm in this sweet spot.
I love it. I love it. And we are back from our retreat in Ottawa last week. If you had signed in, we were both actually in the same space when we did a retreat in together in Ottawa. And that was really wonderful. But here we are back to the same bat time, same bat channel that we normally are at. Louise, what are you celebrating?
I am celebrating. So I just did this fantastic delivery of a workshop today for the Manitoba Learning and Development Conference. And so unbeknownst to me, it is actually the largest L&D conference in Western Canada. And it is growing and it is exciting to see how important and impactful organizations are starting to see like learning and development and how important human capital is. And that's really exciting. And I got to talk about what I love to talk about around career empowerment and helping leaders have those conversations with their teams and helping people have those conversations with their leaders. We stay quiet. And it was so amazing to just be surrounded by people who just want to be better humans. And so it was great. And I met Corey. So back a few episodes, we had Corey Keller on. And so I got to meet him in person. So it was just lovely to be in a space of folks who are just, like I said, trying to be better humans. It was fantastic.
I love that. One that you got to meet one of our guests in person. Like that's pretty sweet. It is pretty sweet. And two, that you were just in that really juicy spot of like these are people that it sounds like it felt really good to be in the company of them and you got to present to them.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. And to hear the struggles that people are having too, right? You know, you and I, we connect with our clients, we connect with our audience, and when we can hear that like really firsthand, when we can almost see it, then it just reinforces that we're doing good work and we're putting good things out into the world that people need. And so that's part of it too, is just being in that space and celebrating that, and maybe celebrating that we're in the struggle together too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I just had that conversation. Actually twice today. So normally on Fridays, the time before we go live is a little bit more, it's less front facing. So I don't deplete all my energy before we come onto the show. And then I'm, front facing. I actually had three networking calls today before today's show, and they were all amazing conversations mm-hmm. with amazing humans doing amazing work in the world. And that place of, we're all struggling, right? Mm-hmm. We are. We're human. And part of being human means we struggle. And yet we push that away so often, right? We keep that behind closed doors. Maybe we share it with our closest people, but in the world of work, right? We don't talk about those things.
Yeah.
And when we're networking, we don't talk about those things. And when we're building our business, we don't talk about those things. And when we're on the front lines advocating for something, we don't talk about those things. And yet we're leaving a huge component of being human out of our existence when we're not saying, hey, this is a little crunchy for me, right? We start this week every week with our conversations with looking at celebrations. And I think we have done a pretty good job of looking at those celebrations as sometimes it's like, you know what, I'm celebrating, I'm upright. Mm-hmm. Because it does take into consideration that we do have struggles, that things are crunchy, that they're not always rainbows and unicorns and, you know, beautiful things that we want them to be, because it's not real. Like, nobody's asking us to walk around completely regulated and in this state of joy and bliss all the time, because it's not real. I mean, I've never talked to a Zen Buddhist monk, but right, and who's looking for enlightenment personally. I mean, maybe I have. Maybe I've talked to a former one. But even listening to Jay Shetty, who is a former one, right? Like he did. And he even said, looking for enlightenment is not about being blissed out all the time. It's about being very human. So I'm really glad that you had that. And my celebration is I'm celebrating you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'm celebrating that you had that opportunity today to really experience that. That is absolutely worth celebrating. And I'm celebrating the conversations, you know, along that same vein. I'm celebrating those conversations that allowed us to connect human to human and allowed us to have the conversations that aren't, you know, when we say networking calls, like most people are probably thinking, oh, you just tell each other about what you do for business. That is not, my friends, if you ever jump on a networking call with me, that is not what you're going to get. We will get to business, but like, I want to know who you are, what makes you tick, and what's underneath everything. Because we are humans. We want to share that experience.
Yeah. And I think that's actually a really great segue into our topic today around redefining career identity, because I think it's a little bit about how we identify with our careers, but how our careers identify with us. Like, it's a two-way street there, right?
How our careers identify with us.
Yeah.
Like, that's a mic drop moment right there. That really is. Because how often do we think about, I know you and I do, right? It's who we are. And it's how we got to where we are. But how often do you, dear listener, think about how is your career identifying with you? And if you own your own business, how is your business identifying with you? Just give that a thought. Like, where were you when you said that, Louise? Where were you going?
Well, it's about, like, so you were talking about a networking call and how you really want to get to know someone, right? And how we really connect with people, have a genuine connection with people when we get to know them on some other level than what they do for a living. And it is absolutely 100% our default, because it feels easy to explain. I'm a data analyst. I'm a business owner. I'm a coach. It's all of a sudden we have this language that all of a sudden we think somebody can identify us with, right? And so it's our default. And then it becomes, I think, a piece of clothing that we wear. And we get mixed up in that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so we talk, and there's talk about how we wear that career identity and we can wear that role. And when our careers identify with us, that's really, I think, where there's so much growth and opportunity to connect with your job, with your career in a completely different way. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of this in terms of the work that I do with some of the businesses and some of the nonprofits I work with. I often ask not just the leader, but the leadership team, and then ideally, right, all of the people who are working for that organization. What is your why with being here? Like, what is it about this company? What is it about this organization? What is it about this movement that you've either created or stepped into? Why stay? Right? We all have our own mission, vision, values. And yet we very often don't tie those to the day-to-day. We lose track of it. So, oh, I started this company and now I need to, right, grow it and get so much revenue and pay my staff and, right, hire staff and pay staff and do this and grow. And when we're working for an organization, right, I have this job, I'm doing this job, I show up and I do my job. But what if it was more than that? What if we had an opportunity to make it more than that? And I'm not talking about like that deep purpose, but like, what if that job had meaning in your life?
Yeah, it's really flipping the tables, right? Like, we often think about how what we give to work, right? What is our value, right? What do we give there? And that can quickly become draining and overwhelming because it's like this energy out, right? Like, I know folks on the podcast can't see me, but it's like hand waving out, right? And so we do that. And I think that's a story that we carry with us. That's what we thought work was all about. And maybe for a little bit of a time when we're younger, it is about that. It is about, right, where can I go? What can I do? What can I experience, right? And when we flip the tables on it and we say, okay, but what value does work bring to me, right? And it goes back to those questions that you said, right? The why and the what. Kim, what prevents us or people from seeing it that way or from getting to that place where, because I think it is actually transformational when you make that shift, but what gets in the way?
Well, I mean, the simplest way to say it is fear, mm-hmm. right? Limiting beliefs. The fact that we have lost contact with our inner voice, with our inner wisdom, the fact that we are trying to get somewhere that we don't even really know where that is, right? Success. So when I actually think of your son, when you were just saying when we're first starting out, right? He hasn't even gone off to college yet, but talking about getting jobs and what is he doing and all of that. But this place of, we need it to do something. And very early on, we say, well, I need to get a job because I need to pay the bills, right? That can last a lifetime. I need to get a job so I can pay the bills. I need to grow this business so I can pay the bills. Not untrue, right? We do need some form of income in the society we live in to pay the bills. Absolutely. Yes. And why that job? Is it the only one available? Okay. It may be. It may be the only opportunity available to you in that moment with the skill set of the people that will hire you. I get it. We're living through that right now. Mm-hmm. Right? And when you think that that's the only thing available, that's where I would say that's a limiting belief. Right? Because there are always other options. We have a very narrow view of what we think work is mm-hmm. and how we can get paid. And it's been designed that way. It's been designed that way to keep workers working. And what we're seeing, I'm going to step on a little soapbox here. What we're seeing is we're starting to dissolve that, right? Gig economy. The number of entrepreneurs on the rise, the number of small businesses that are being started. Is it easy? No. It's an option, though. It's an option. And so how we identify, right, with this idea of re-identifying your career identity, like, what if you re-identified what work was and how you get your income? What do you think? What do you think gets in people's way from thinking about it this way?
Well, very much it's that this is what I know. Like, we don't know what we don't know. And where I believe where it comes down to work is we do get what is there? I think 7 professions in the world. At least that's what I thought when I graduated high school, right? Like you count them on 2 hands. And that's just not true. It never was true, but it's really not true now. But we kind of stick to this idea that work, what work is, or even what a career is, because we have been taught that it's only these things. It's only this way. What growing up, my dad believed I should be a doctor. Period. He had my university picked out. He knew my court, right? Like that's what he believed, that the only way to be successful, that I shouldn't do what he did. He was a successful police officer for almost his entire life, right? I shouldn't do that. I should do this. And so we get the should. And it very much limits our view of what work is, but also how work is supposed to feel.
How is work supposed to feel?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Spacious, joyful, light, challenging. I don't know. Those are 4 words that come to mind. You?
Well, all right. If anybody's been listening for half a minute, you know, I hate the word work. I just hate it. I don't like it. When I think of quote unquote going to work, it makes me feel tense, small, constricted, a little nauseous. So if I want to redefine that for myself, if I want to think about what I do and understand that what I do is work, then those are the words that you came up with are very much in alignment with what I actually do feel. Excited is another word that comes to mind. I'm like, I'm excited. I get excited even when it's challenging. I get excited even when it's been a really shitty day, right? Because it's what I'm creating. And so that's probably another word is creativity, right? There's a little bit of control in there too. Like, I'm going to own it. Because that is important to me. I do want some control. It's why I enjoy being an entrepreneur and why I don't enjoy being an employee.
Yes, but even at that. And so there's Daniel Pink talks about this around his theory of motivation. Mm-hmm. And there's 3 components to that. So there's purpose, right? And we've talked a lot about that here on Kick-Ass Careers, right? And we talk to a lot of people who are reconnecting with their purpose and re-identifying their careers with their purpose. The second component of motivation is mastery. We all have this desire to be good at something, right? And we want to, and we do. And some of us like love it and just keep, right, growing and growing and growing that skill. And other folks is like, master it, done, go to the next. But there's this, right? It means different things. Purpose means different things to people. Mastery means different things to people, but we all desire that. And the last one is autonomy. And that we feel really, really motivated and connected to the things that we do and the people in our lives when we feel like we have choice and we feel like we have control over what that looks like. And for some people, the control is give me a schedule and let me just like check off the boxes, right? But there's an autonomy in that. There's a recognition of like, this is what I need. And this is autonomy to me that I get to do this. And when we can pull of those 3 components together, like just imagine when we know what those things are for us and we actually are in a space where we get to like create those things and be connected to that. Like talk about motivation, like talk about like changing the world of work. That feels really, the word is inspiring and kind of tingly to me to think about that.
Yeah, it is interesting because it goes to leadership, right? So as a leader in my own organization, absolutely, I would say I feel those 3 things. As a leader, and when I was leading in other organizations, I was never number 1. I would be like number 2, number 3, somewhere up in the top though. And I never felt those things. Mm. And some of it I will own, right? And I think this is important to say and to hear is that a lot of that because I didn't feel it, a lot of it was my internal understanding of whatever hierarchy was there, what it meant to work, what it meant to be a good employee. And by changing that, by allowing ourselves the space to change that, how could we change our relationship with whatever type of work we're doing in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. It's really about owning and rewriting your career story, right?
Yeah.
And really recognizing that. But we struggle. We struggle because we feel these pressures on work. We feel this pressure in society to, right, to do something or be something that doesn't really fit with our values or align with who we are. And then it gets really, really crunchy. And it gets hard to be able to take that time to rewrite your story, right? Because it does take time. It takes that self-reflection. It takes a guide sometimes, a coach to help you work through that with some really great questions. And yet we're trying to fit this all into our busy, busy lives. Yet so important to take that time to figure out what your career story is. Because I think that's really what we're talking about is like how you own your own career story and figure out what that is.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think about while you were sharing that, I was thinking about when I stopped being an attorney. Stopped being a practicing attorney for somebody else's firm. I need to correct that. Stopped being an attorney for somebody else's firm and hung out my own shingle and was an attorney for my own firm. I chose to do transactional law and a little bit of nonprofit law because of how I wanted to show up. And it was really, it was visceral, and I may have shared this story before. It was visceral about when I took my suit off for the last time. When I came home from work, the last day that I worked for somebody else's law firm, and I took off my suit jacket, it was like pulling a layer off of me that was not mine. It was like if you think about wearing like a really heavy backpack and then pulling that off and feeling the relief and the release from that, with every layer of that suit that I took off, it was more and more of me coming into me. I went back into bad habits with my own practice, right? And showed up very much in that same way, in a similar way, until I could unburden myself again. And that was when I made a switch into the nonprofit community as a nonprofit executive. And then those bad habits came back and then I pulled those off. And as an entrepreneur, I have gone in and out of that again, right? And it is that definition of who am I in the space of work. When I'm working, who am I? And what I think, right, as I'm sharing this, what I think has become true for me is I am the yes and, right? And because I am for so many things. Yes, I'm very professional and I like things to be polished, but I will never wear a suit again. And you can guarantee, right, that that's just not going to happen. But I still like things professional and polished.
Yeah.
And flowy.
Yeah.
Both.
So I love that metaphor of the backpack, right? Because we can actually forget how heavy it is, right? Mm-hmm. When we are carrying it for so long, we just don't even know it's there, right? Sometimes it can get heavier when people are shoving crap in our backpack. All of a sudden we're like, oh, like my shoulders hurt and I wonder why. But the whole idea of like taking it off and putting it down or you peeling off your suit so that you can actually feel who you are without that.
Yeah. It's profound.
Like, who are you without that backpack, that career identity?
That metaphor goes towards just how we show up in life, right? I mean, it's definitely our career, but also I think about, right, this, the, all of those thoughts, those beliefs, the stories we carry around with us. If we set them down, I was having this conversation yesterday with this amazing human being, and we were talking about being able to hear, truly hear our core voice, our inner wisdom. And all of the thing, all of the ways that we thought that we were self-aware at a certain point, right? Oh, I know I'm an introvert. Oh, I know I'm an extrovert. Oh, I know I'm, right, whatever. Like we know ourselves so well. And yet when we can put down a story that we've been carrying for, or a belief that we've been carrying for a long time, all of a sudden we get a deeper understanding. We're like, whoa, I didn't even know that was true about me. Yeah, let me understand that a little deeper. And so, yes, it goes 100% to our career identity and to who we are in work. And it goes to our whole lives. Mm-hmm. Like, set that shit down so mm-hmm. you can actually hear yourself.
Mm-hmm. What's a tip, tool, trick, question that can help folks? I think maybe it's the first layer. Maybe it's the suit jacket, not the whole suit. Maybe it's the sweater.
Yeah, because you know me, I'm like, let's get down. Right? Let's just peel it all off.
You're late. Running around.
I do that.
Super vulnerable though, right? Like super scary when you think about like ripping all your clothes off and running through the streets.
Yeah.
And how can folks take off that first layer or how, more.
Yeah. It is interesting because I am a like just rip the whole damn thing off at once kind of person. It is that first layer is about stopping. That first layer is about stillness. When we are constantly in motion, you mentioned our busy, busy lives. We do. We have very busy lives. And a lot of that busyness is distraction. It's distraction from what we don't want to take accountability for, we don't want to take responsibility for, what we don't want to deal with. And that's everything underneath that first layer. So we're not even talking about the suit at this point. We're talking about your coat, like, right? Your overcoat.
That's the coat that goes over the coat.
It is. Yeah. And that first place is stillness. Mm-hmm. Because we have to not constantly have the barrage of noise and the barrage of distractions to be able to hear anything mm-hmm. that's coming from within us. So even before we get in touch with, well, who am I? It comes from a place of stillness. How about for you? Do you have any thoughts?
No. Like, let's just be honest. Because that's really like the core of it, right? Like we get so wrapped up in our whole lives. Because I think we're not just talking about our career identity here today, right? We are talking about who we are and how we show up in the world. Our career happens to be something that fills a big part of our lives, right? 90,000 to 115,000 hours of our lives, actually. And so it's a big part of it. And yet it's more, right? And I often talk to my clients too about, you know, it's like how you do one thing is how you do everything. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you are struggling with something in your career, because that's why you come to me, it's not long before we understand that it's more than that. It's something that goes so much deeper. And that's why that stillness piece and then that self-evaluation piece that you and I talk about so much is like, we can't do the work until we do this work. Mm-hmm. Right. And really understanding that who you are without the backpack, who you want to be without the backpack, and then unpacking the backpack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because what we're really talking about is stop, listen, and heal. Mm-hmm. Right. Because that the unpacking is part of the healing process. Mm-hmm. And it's not fast, it's not easy, it's not always comfortable. It's not always pleasant, Sometimes it is. But the healing is then what allows us to make those changes, to redefine ourselves, to redefine our career identity, to redefine who we are in relationship to others, to redefine how we want to show up in the world. Mm-hmm. So if we're feeling like we're not fulfilled, if we're feeling like we're not able to access joy or pleasure on a regular basis, those are really good signs that there is some deep healing that is needed. And the first step is that place of stillness. Stop. Just stop. And in that stopping, right, is an opportunity to just quiet yourself, right? Even before you listen, just stop and quiet yourself and see how long you can stay quiet. If stuff comes up, just let it come up. Don't have to do anything with it. Just be quiet with it.
Yeah, I giggled a little bit because I know too, it's this, we come from a loud world.
Oh,
right?
Too loud.
Very, very loud. Yeah. And we are distracted in all kinds of places and spaces. And I think about my journaling practice in the mornings, right? Because I can sit down with a cup of coffee, a notebook and a pen, and it is meant to be 40, 45 minutes of like journaling. And 5 minutes in, I'm like, what's my phone? Like, or I need to research something, or something I'm journaling about. It was like, ooh, that's interesting. Like, what's out there in the world? And like I need to go to the Googleverse to find it. Like, cause I have this desire and this need to know. And yet do I? Right. Because that's not the whole purpose of sitting there, right? Journaling. And even in the pausing of that action, like even when I'm like, I don't know what to write, but I'm just going to sit here and be quiet. There is anything but stillness in my head. There are four voices all fighting to be loud, plus this desire to, right, feed the dog, start my day, right, throw in some laundry. Like all of those things are all competing for my attention, even in those moments where I feel like I'm doing nothing, air quotes there, mm-hmm. right? And so it is... I think it's a constant struggle to find that. But yet when you can break through, then it's like the seed, right? Breaking through the soil. And like, it's like, oh yeah, now that's what that is. That's what real stillness is. And maybe it only happens for 15 seconds or mm-hmm. 30 seconds to start, right? Don't think you're going to sit down and get to that place of 45 minutes of, right? Of whatever, it's these small, tiny, tiny moments. And it can come doing all kinds of things, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's a practice. And the reality is that when we come to stillness, right? And could we be talking about meditating? Sure. Could we be talking about journaling? Sure. Could we talk about sitting and staring out the window or staring mm-hmm. at the wall or staring at your feet, whatever it is? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is. It's just coming to stillness. Practiced, very well practiced, very well versed meditators who do this in a different way will tell you the thoughts don't stop. It's not about stopping the thoughts. It's about stopping the noise. And those are two different things. Because the noise comes from our attachment, right? That place of, ooh, let me go research that. Mm-hmm. And in our minds, if we're not actually going and picking up our phones or going to our computers to go research something, we start researching it in our brains because we attach to a thought. The thoughts don't stop. Coming to stillness means recognizing that a thought is passing and just letting it pass. Mm-hmm. Healing comes from feeling something very deeply and just letting that feeling exist. And that is a freaky, freaky place for a lot of people. Like, right? When I had to learn how to do that, it was like, what do you mean just feel the feet? Like, that doesn't seem productive, right? Don't I do something with it? Nope, just feel it. Just experience it. Because in this whole place where we keep talking about human being versus human doing, being means you're not doing something with the beingness.
Right.
So allowing yourself to just be, just to experience the thought, right? You're sitting there, you're just, okay, I came to a place of stillness. Why is my dog snoring so loudly? That is the thought that literally just went through my head. If I attached to it, I would look under the desk. I'd see if he was okay. I'd be like, okay, that's a little weird. And I continue down that path versus why is the dog snoring so loudly? Just exists. The question just exists. Nobody has to answer it. Nothing has to be done about it. It just exists. And yeah, it can be a really freaky, freaky place. But that's the entrance point. That's the entrance point to us being able to start to redefine anything in our lives. Because otherwise we're just putting a Band-Aid on a severed arm.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's not that I find it interesting because most of the time, we have to be in this crunchy place to say, hey, I want to do things different or I want to explore different things. And sometimes, let's just put that out there, you don't have to wait for it to feel crunchy to lean in, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just got really excited when you said that. Yeah, you don't.
Like we are here every week talking about kick-ass career conversations, oftentimes with guests and sometimes on our own, about, right, like when it felt crunchy, this is what I did. When I turned left, I should have turned right. I kept going straight and then I hit a wall. Like we talk about these things because we feel like it's really, really important for people to understand like career journeys look like all kinds of things. And we're talking about careers as like all kinds of things, right? There is a vastness to this word careers and how it shows up in our lives. And so that's why we're here every week is to talk about that. And we talk to people who've gone through the crunchy and done that. And just imagine if you did some of this inner work and this self-reflection and you came out to say, of course I'm doing the right thing, right? Of course I'm on the right track. Holy smokes, you would just be zipping down the track. Right? Because you have that energy, that fuel, that you know that you're doing the right thing. You're not pulled, right, in these other directions. And then we can really make progress in what it is we want to put out into the world. But we don't have to wait for it to feel crunchy or horrible. This is the checking in. This is the growth opportunity that we're talking about in our lives. And how do we gain our autonomy on that, be more in control so that we don't hit a wall. We see it well before it comes. Yeah. Like, whew.
Yeah. Well, and it circles back to what you said at the beginning, right? About being with a group of people and saying, we're sharing in a struggle. The struggle, right? We all have struggles. We all do. And yet it doesn't have to hit that crunchy spot, to your point, before we go, huh, something just needs a check-in. Mm-hmm. I just need to check in here. Mm-hmm. And that, again, is that place of stillness. Just check in. Mm-hmm. Checking in with ourselves gives us the information that we're looking for. And yes, it can get to that place of needing to spend a lot of time healing if we haven't done it or right. We haven't done it in a long time.
Yeah.
It gets faster the more we practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Louise, what do we want to make sure that people are walking away with from this conversation today?
I think that it's all around like where do we begin, right? Where do we really start? And hopefully on our journey here in life that like we can start anytime, but it is that self-reflection piece, right? And there's so much power in the pause. In all kinds of places and spaces, but especially here when you're doing this work on redefining your career and who you are and who what it is to you. It all starts with that. Like we can't hear the answer if it's so noisy. And we're so busy. And so I think that's really my takeaway too. And something I'm going to put into practice.
Yeah. Yeah. I love going back to the beginning of the conversation of redefining how your career fits with your identity.
Yeah.
right? And giving yourself permission to look at that, because mm-hmm. that opens all sorts of doors for you.
Yeah. Well, and know thyself, right?
Like know thyself.
Your career can't fit into your identity if you don't know what that is. And so I think that's our offering for today, is just to slow down and take a look at that.
Absolutely. Louise, who do we have coming up to join us, and what are we going to talk about next week?
Stepping out of overwhelm with the fabulous divas. The 90 Day Divas are joining us. There's three of them. It is going to be a hoot here next week. I said it, a hoot. Maybe I could say it with...
No, don't do it. Just don't do it. No, okay. Don't do it. It's going to be a hoot and a holler.
A hoot and holler. So join us. Don't miss that next week. It's going to be a fantastic conversation with the divas. And if you need more of us, you can always find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. We're on YouTube, and you can flash it up. Yourkickasscareer.com is where we are at. Please go there, check out what we have going on, and please connect with us on LinkedIn or any of those socials. But really, LinkedIn is where I'm at.
That's where she's at.
But she can go to the other
side. Notice the most important thing is that I'm Louise on LinkedIn.
I'm the one doing the talking right now, so you can find me.
Yeah, you can find me those places too. I'm everywhere as the cameraman. I am everywhere. Come play with me, because that would be awesome. And if you want to have a networking conversation that is really about creating conscious conversations, right? You were talking about courageous conversations. Just a little shout out that I do that once a month. I have a free container that you can join us. So drop me a little note and come join us, because it's
I love it. Love it.
So, all right, my dears, we will continue this conversation next week with three fabulous women from down under. I guess New Zealand is still considered down under. I don't know. Okay, but they're from New Zealand and we're in Canada. It's going to be fun. All right, everyone. Have a good week.
Take care. Bye for now.